Job 15, as we continue to study through the book of Job, we are kind of at the beginning of Eliphaz the Temanite's second lashing of Job, we'll call it that. And by the way, I hope you have realized that these individuals are pretty stout when it comes to the things that they have to say about their friend. And so so please notice that and of course the language that is being used, and they are not pulling any punches, if you will. They're being quite critical and quite scathing of Job, and really for no apparent reason. Okay, so we have this difficulty to work through. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, I'm not going to promise anything, but I would really like to get through verse 16 tonight. We'll see what happens. But we'll begin in verse 7 and read down through verse 16. The Bible says, "Art thou the first man that was born? Or wast thou made before the hills? Hast thou heard the secret of God? And dost thou restrain wisdom to thyself? What knowest thou that we know not? What understandest thou which is not in us? With us are both the gray-headed and the very aged men, much elder than thy father. Are the consolations of God small with thee? Is there any secret thing with thee? Why doth thine heart carry thee away? And what do thy eyes wink at, that thou turnest thy spirit against God, and lettest such words go out of thy mouth? What is man that he should be clean? And what, and he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous? Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints, yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water." As we continue to study through the book of Job, I do want to make sure that we emphasize that all these things have to do with the discourse or the dialogue between these men, between Job, and keep in mind, besides talking to Satan, God has not said anything, all right? God hasn't revealed anything. God has not shown anyone anything. God has not said to anyone, "I'm doing this because of this." They are making all these accusations based on their human knowledge, okay? Based on what they've experienced or what they've known, etc. Now, let me just say something. At this time in history, I don't know exactly what scriptures they had, okay? We don't know that, you know, as far as what they had, if they had any kind of scrolls or if they had any kind of written scriptures. We do know that men had, and women, and families, people, had relationships with God. Okay? We know that's true. We know that they have experiences with God. If you're like me, you kind of sneak ahead to the end, right? And you read the last part. God actually talks to these guys. Okay? And so, at this time in history, it seems as though, perhaps at times, God has spoken to people. We know God spoke to Abraham, right? We know God spoke to Isaac and Jacob. And we know that God would do that from time to time. And so all of these things. But keep in mind, so far to this point, they are doing all of these things based on their own human reasoning, based on their own experiences, or based on the experiences of people from the past. Okay? So they are not doing this with any divine knowledge or supernatural help. Remember, there was a vision that Eliphaz had, and we deducted that was not a heavenly vision. It was a demonic vision. It was something that the devil used to further destroy the relationship of these friends, and if you will, that kind of sent them down this path of rebuke to Job that he must be wrong. So now, as we consider all of those things, not only have they expected Job to admit his guilt, instead, Job has contradicted everything that they've accused him of, and now they're falsely accusing Job of the great crime of being a fool and an empty man. Okay? So, first of all, they accuse him of being wicked, of being evil, of being a hypocrite, right? All those things. And now they're accusing him of being a fool. All right? Now, that's a big thing. All right? Now, I mean, sure, if you're gonna call somebody a fool, you better make sure that they are a fool. Because it's a really bad thing to falsely accuse someone of being a fool. The Bible says so. We read that passage last week in Matthew. So please understand that, okay, if someone is a fool, fine, they're a fool. But if they're not, and you accuse them of being one, that's bad for you. So now Eliphaz and his friends, they're going on this line of questioning. And so they've accused him of being a fool. And they've also accused him of being not only a fool, but being disloyal to God. That's huge. It's bad enough that a wise man, a righteous man, one who has proved himself such in his world, is having to go through these things of losing his wealth, losing his family, losing his health, and now really losing the friendships that he's built over these years. Because think about it. If you really were a close friend of someone, would this be happening? Okay? So these friendships are eroding, right? They're being broken down because of these things that are happening. And so, but they're not only accusing him of being a fool, they're accusing him of being disloyal to God and having a lack of devotion as a child of God. Okay? If you look back up here in verse 5, he says, "For thy mouth uttereth thine iniquity, and thou choosest the tongue of the crafty. Thine own mouth condemneth thee, and not I. Yea, thine own lips testify against thee." Okay, so he said, you're self-condemning here, Job, and you're twisting the words. You're being crafty with your words. And then look what he says here in verse 7. He begins a series of questions. And now Job is being charged with being arrogant and self-conceited. Okay, so fool, disloyal, and now conceited, right? So Eliphaz is ramping up the charges against his friend. And he goes with this line of questioning here, beginning in verse 7. He says, "Art thou the first man that was born?" Okay, now, please understand, this is one of those kind of rhetorical type questions, or question that Eliphaz doesn't really think that Job was the first man born, nor does he think that Job thinks he's the first man born. That's just something you say to someone who you are saying thinks themselves to be self-important, right? Like, are you the only one that exists? You know, are you that you would say something like that? But he's basically saying, Job, yeah, you are not Adam, right? You are not the first man that was ever born. You're not the wealth of all knowledge and all experience, Job. You're just a man. You're just a common man that was born later. You have not experienced everything. You do not know all things. That's what he's saying. And then he says, "Or wast thou made before the hills?" So now, okay, I'm going to question Eliphaz's knowledge of creation, okay? Because obviously the hills and man were not born years and years and years apart, but rather days, right, if you will. God formed land, and then a few days later, he formed man, okay, out of the land, all right? And so, please understand all of that, okay? But Eliphaz, he goes, okay, first of all, Job, you're not the first man ever born. And secondly, Job, you are not older than creation itself. You are not older than the hills. You're not older than the land and the sea and the earth and all the things that are in it. You're not older. So, what Eliphaz has to say about Job and him not being older than the first man and not being older than the hills is, Job, you are an inexperienced, common human being. And you don't know any better than the rest of us know. He brings that up later. Look at verse 8. He says, hast thou heard the secret of God? Now, I understand that overall, if you will, God is a mystery. Okay? For instance, we believe that the Bible teaches us that we serve a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But they are three in one, one in three, if you will. And that is a mystery. Okay? It really is. That's a very unique thing. We try to explain it with human-type components, like an egg, right? You have the shell, the white, and the yolk, but yet it's all called an egg, right? Everybody understand? That's about the best we can do. And yet that still doesn't fully give us an idea of what it means to have a triune God, okay? So it's difficult to understand these things. So he's telling Job, he says, do you know the secret of God? Are you figured this out, Job? You have all the answers? You know about God? Now let me just say along those lines, folks, we probably accumulatively know more about God than Job did. You understand? We have 66 books of the Bible. We have a really good opportunity to know our God, okay? Our great God. So we have a chance. Yeah. I know for a fact Job didn't have this much. Okay? Because a lot of the Bible wasn't written. Now, if you get to a chronological Bible, Job is one of the older books of the Bible. Okay? As far as the timeline, when it happens, how it happens, all those types of things. We already talked about Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, right? And Zophar, whatever he is, I forgot. Whatever he is. But remember, some of those had ties to ancestors of, sons and daughters of Abraham, etc., right? We went through the different things there. But please understand, I got to go find that now because that's going to bug me. Namathite, thank you. It was right there on the tip of my tongue. But that was Zophar. Now, we do know that it's in this time frame somewhat. Some Bible scholars say around 1520 B.C., okay? So that's pretty early on, if you will, as far as record of time goes. Now, as we think about these things, Job certainly has never said he's smarter than the first man, that he's smarter than creation, that he knows things that his friends don't know. He's only relying upon his own experiences. He's never claimed to be a know-it-all, or he's never claimed to know anything. So all these things that Eliphaz is saying are false accusations. They have no merit. They have no substance. Okay? What Eliphaz is going off of, and we're going to see it here, if you look at verse 9, all right? I'm going to finish verse 8 first, and then I'll go to verse 9. If he says in the rest of verse 8, and dost thou restrain wisdom to thyself? So he says, have you found the secret of God? And if you have, you're keeping it to yourself and you're not sharing it with us. Now, notice his tone here, because we're going to continue on what we talked about last week. Excuse me. And that is what seems to be that pride is what's fueling Eliphaz's lies and rage. Okay? Pride. Because he makes comments like, do you know the secret of God and are you keeping it to yourself? You're hiding it from us. And then in verse 9 he says, what knowest thou
that we know not.
Okay, so here it comes out. It really comes out. This is where the rubber meets the road as far as the attitude that Eliphaz has. Now, this is what I want to warn us of, if you will. We know that we have studied in 2 Timothy, right? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 chapter 3, Paul goes and tells Timothy to avoid foolish and unlearned questions, right? Remember that? And he tells him, look, Timothy, you don't need to get involved with all of that because it's nothing but pride. I don't know if any of you have ever talked with somebody who just wants to argue out soul winning. They're not going to change your mind and you're not going to change their mind, but they just want to argue. And they just want to keep going on, and they're going to waste your time, if you will, and you're not going to get anywhere with them. All right, so we need to be careful about this because that's all fueled by pride. Over in Titus chapter 3, Paul tells something similar to Titus. He says, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Okay, so please understand that that is all human vanity. So as we hear Eliphaz talk to Job, he's not really listening to what Job has to say. All he knows is that Job is countering what he thinks is, and he's throwing up a defense and a wall, and he's attacking his friend back. So he goes on and he says this, what knowest thou, in verse 9, that we know not? What understandest thou, which is not in us? He says, with us are both the gray-headed and very aged men, much elder than thy father. So he's building a case, if you will, that Job, not only we know as much as you, but we have with us in our company those that are older than you and even older than your father. And I just have a great big whoop-de-ding to say to that. Who really cares how old people are? I mean, I understand that with age does come wisdom and experience. I get it. But can I tell you something? So does a life with God and studying God's word and living up. That comes with something too. And you know what? Paul tells Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. He tells Titus to teach these things with all authority and all presence. Because listen, folks, knowledge from God is what matters. And whether you're young or whether you're old, you can know God. And you can know the things of God. Now, what Eliphaz is trying to do is he's trying to shame Job. He's trying to intimidate Job. He's trying to say that Job is not only a fool, not only disloyal, but that he is also arrogant and self-conceited. Okay? He is full of himself. He is just trying to pass off all these things and not address the big elephant in the room, that is why this judgment has come upon him. Okay? That's what he's accusing his friend of. So look at verse 11. He says, are the consolations of God small with thee? Now he's trying to minimize the comfort of God. How God deals with mankind. Remember, Job has voiced his great discomfort, his great sorrow, and his wonderings as far as why is he still alive, right? So he says to Job, not only that, Job, have you found the secret, but are you just going to dismiss how God comforts mankind? How God deals with mankind? And you know what? Job has not dismissed that. He's just asked God for some kind of answer. By the way, is that so unfair? Well, I don't know. If I were Eliphaz or Bildad or Zophar, I think instead of accusing my friend, I would want to know, God, why are you doing this to Job? You know? But have any one of us heard yet Zophar or Bildad or Eliphaz ask God what's going on? Not one time. Not one time. So he says, are the consolations of God small with thee? Is there any secret thing with thee? Why doth thine heart carry thee away? And what do thy eyes wink at? So he's accusing Job of being completely fleshly, consumed with his own emotions and his own conscience, if you will, that he is dismissing the fact that Job has any bit of spirituality to him at all. Okay, he says, Job, you are completely carnal. And listen, folks, we all know that these things are not true of Job. But Eliphaz has taken this to the next level and is telling his friend that he has no loyalty toward God and that he knows nothing about the things of God any more than they do or their elders or their friends, etc. And that he is turning, look at verse 13, his spirit against God. So Eliphaz has taken the words that Job has said in rebuttal to his friends and determined that they are an accusation against God himself. Which, by the way, so far, Eliphaz is the only one that has accused God of being unjust. Remember in the first time that he spoke, we talked about that. And Job has not accused God of being unjust, but Eliphaz has. So he's really turning these things, if you will, over onto his friend, which are really true about him. You know, sometimes we do that as human beings, you know? We kind of deflect onto other people. And we ought not to do things like that. Now, just a few verses here as we kind of try to shut this down tonight. But he says here that thou turnest thy spirit against God and lettest such words go out of thy mouth. So again, he's finishing his accusation of Job being a rebel. He's rebelling against God. He's being disloyal to God. So not only is he a fool, but he is also disloyal and he is an arrogant, self-conceited, carnal man. Okay, so that's where they're going with Job. He's accusing Job of. Now he says to verse 14, what is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous. Okay, so he is trying to say that a man, a human being, cannot be clean. And that a man born of a woman cannot be righteous. Now, everyone, from a human sense, is that true? Absolutely, from a human sense. How about from a divine sense or from a saved perspective? Right? Can we be clean before God? Yes, through Jesus Christ. All right? Can we be righteous before God? Yes, through Jesus Christ. Okay? So go over to 1 John. You know this is true, right? 1 John chapter 1. This is a passage of scripture we often use, and it is a proper usage of it, that we ought to have fellowship with God. It's an important thing as a Christian, right? By the way, if Job is a upright man who fears God and eschews evil, we know that Job is born again. Okay? And now, we kind of think that maybe Job's friends were born again, but then again, maybe they're not. But look here. It says in verse 5, and this is the message which we heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Okay, so how can we walk in the light if we are in Christ Jesus? We can walk in the light if we are in Christ Jesus. If we're not in Christ Jesus, we cannot walk in the light because he is the light. Okay, everybody understands that. So then he says that we can. He says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. So it's on Jesus. So can a man born of a woman be righteous? In Jesus Christ, yes. Can a man be clean? Yes. Through Jesus Christ and salvation and his blood, he's the one that cleanses us from our unrighteousness. All right, so we know that of a truth. Over in Romans 16, Paul writes and says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." Okay, that's a great commendation by Paul to the church. And can I tell you, folks, it's a great commendation for us. So we are to judge, if you will, we are to mark those that are unruly or unwise, etc. We're supposed to make that determination. But it needs to be a correct determination, not made up because of our pride. You know, sometimes we as human beings feel like someone else is trying to show us up, right? Or trying to be smarter than us. And guess what that does? That kind of just rubs us the wrong way, doesn't it? And I think that's what has happened to Eliphaz. Perhaps he and his friends have just been under the if you will, the shadow of righteous Job. And now righteous Job's in a hot pot of water, and they're going to come and, you know, tell him the what for. Like, you're really not that righteous, and let us shine a little bit. That's kind of what's going on here. And so we've got to be careful that we don't act that way when difficulties come upon others, especially if we really don't know what's going on. Now, over in, I'll get to that one next week. Okay, one more thing. Eliphaz charges Job of disregard and contempt to him and his friends. Look at verse 15. He says, "Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water." Okay, so he's talking about mankind. He's talking about the depravity of man. And by the way, is man depraved? Absolutely we are. But we can be righteous before God through God and his word. And so I don't think that Eliphaz is taking into account that Job has a relationship with God. And he's only using what he knows as the tool to decide that. He's saying, "Job, God has severely punished you. Therefore, you cannot have a relationship with God." That's what he's saying. And all of the answers that Job has given to his three friends, Eliphaz is counting as deceit, as disloyalty, as a twisting of the words and being crafty with the tongue. And he is giving Job no credit of having any knowledge of God or any knowledge of a relationship with God. He says, it is impossible for you to know God. You are drinking iniquity like water. You are abominable and filthy in the sight of God. Okay, so you understand how that works, right? So those are the things that Eliphaz is saying about his friend, if you will, etc. Okay? Now, Psalm 18, before we quit tonight, the psalmist says this. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. So this is David speaking, and he's saying this is possible for man. He says, for all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore, hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. Okay, so does the Lord notice, if you will, the righteous? Yes. Does he notice the wicked? Yes. Okay, he notices both. God is aware of our wickedness. He's aware of our iniquity, but he's also aware of our righteousness. God knows when we follow his statutes, when we obey his commands, when we do what we're supposed to, and that's counted to us as righteousness because we're following God in his righteousness. And God wants us to make sure that we are rewarded according to our righteousness, and if you will, that we're punished according to our iniquity and wickedness. God's a just God, but he's also merciful, gracious, long-suffering. His loving kindnesses. I mean, God is a multifaceted being. So to reduce him down to just punishing the wicked, and that's all he punishes, is not exactly the truth of the matter. Okay? And by the way, please understand that no matter how difficult this sounds, what he did to Job was not a punishment. It was a circumstance, it was a diverse temptation that he put in Job's path because he knew Job could handle it. By the way, he wouldn't say those things to Satan if he didn't know Job could handle it. And so far, Job is handling it, and he's having a difficulty, yes. Who said it was going to be easy? But his friends are making it much worse, aren't they? Especially if they're making up things that are not true altogether. So do be careful, folks, as you deal with people. Don't get blinded by pride and begin making up things just to make yourself look better. And that's what Eliphaz is doing. We have to be aware of that in our own lives.